Welcome to Whitechapel Church Online. You're currently listening to preaching from our Sunday services. We believe that when the preaching happens, that collectively we're hearing the Word of God, that God's Word has the power to change who we are. We also believe that God can meet you right where you're at, and that He has a Word specifically for you. We hope that you enjoy today's sermon, and we would love to have you at an in-person service. Head over to whitechapelchurch.com to get more info. Enjoy the sermon and be blessed.
Thank you for being here, and thank you for continuing with us as we continue walking through what it means to follow God. I want to ask if you would grab a Bible or on your device, and would you turn over to Mark chapter 8. We're going to keep going in what does it mean for us to follow Jesus. This is something that I believe is so important for every single one of us, that we have to sense the direction that God is leading us, and then we have to do it out of a place of total surrender to Him. And so as we have worked through this series, we've looked at several passages of Scripture. We're going to look at another passage of Scripture this morning to figure out what God would continue saying to us through this series of actually following me. But the one thing that we have discovered, or that we've declared through this, we know that the way you follow Jesus is to simply do it one step at a time. God does not expect you to go from starting a relationship to Him to living the way that we would say a Billy Graham does, or an A.W. Tozer does, or a Charles Wesley does. That's not how God works in our lives. Even people that we would say were giants of the faith, and I named just a few there, people that you know that are giants of the faith, or giants of the faith that have worshiped here and risen up through this ministry and other ministries, they all began their walk with the God in the exact same way that we did, responding to Jesus' invitation to follow Him, and then they did it one step at a time. Just as every human is born not walking, and we eventually begin to walk, that's how we are in our faith with Jesus Christ. We begin simply doing it one step at a time. We move forward, take a step, then we take the next step as we know that God is leading each and every one of us. And I want to, this morning, go the next step in this. As we know that we just simply go one step at a time, you figure out what that is. What is that step? You listen to the Lord. You figure out that step, and then you take that step. You move forward in total obedience. But I want to focus this morning, because I've been thinking about this for several different reasons. I want to focus this morning on what does it cost to follow Jesus? Have you ever thought about that? What does it cost to follow Jesus? Absolutely everything has a cost. And it's very, very frustrating whenever you see something that maybe is like this, and it says, free gift with every purchase. Hurry up and purchase it, right? Buy now. You get a free gift with this, and then it's this week only. And you think, well, there's a free gift with that. Well, maybe it's because I'm skeptical. Maybe it's because I live in reality. I know that there is nothing free, right? Have you ever heard those words before? There is nothing free. Because if it's free to you, it costs somebody else something, right? There's nothing that's free. Somebody had to pay some type of a price, maybe not even necessarily financial price. Maybe it was in sacrifice, or maybe it was in time or other resources. There is absolutely nothing that is totally free, because at some point there is a cost. And the truth is, whenever a retailer says to you, here's a free gift, they have built in the cost of what it is they're giving you into the price that you're actually paying, because they're not going to lose money. I mean, retailers are not in business to lose money. Retailers are in business to make money so that they can grow their business, or so people can live off of their business. And so somebody has to pay that price. And that cost, generally, more often than not, is passed on to all of us. But I want to pause this morning and think about, what does it cost to follow Jesus? You know, we hear all of the time, come to Jesus, come to Jesus. Tell people that you've got to walk with Jesus. You've got to surrender your life to Jesus. The past 3 weeks, we've looked at Jesus' words where he said, follow me. Follow me. And what does that mean? And we began to see what it means to follow Jesus. But here today, it's very important for us to pause for a few minutes and figure out what does it cost to follow Jesus. The truth of the matter is, you may have begun a journey with Jesus, and you may have taken a step, and you thought, oh, I'm good right here where I'm at. And maybe for you, that first step was simply coming to church. And so you've taken that step. There's not a lot of cost in attending church. There's not a lot of cost when it comes to actually believing in Jesus Christ. But the truth is, and we have to reckon with this, and we have to understand this, that eventually following Jesus is going to cost you something. And we have to understand that. Eventually, following Jesus is going to cost you something. And I promise you, whatever it costs you, you will be glad that you paid that price. Because there is nothing worth more than following Jesus. Absolutely nothing. And we're going to look at that today, and we're going to wrestle with several questions. I'm going to throw out several ideas. I asked a number of people this week. I just sent a text to a number of different people, and I said, would you answer this question for me? What does it cost to follow Jesus? Here in this ministry, I asked Pastor Morgan, I asked Pastor Jordan, I asked Pastor Brooke, I asked five or six other people that I know and I trust, and said, just give me some ideas, give me some thoughts back. What does it mean to follow Jesus? I'm going to share several of them with you here today. We're going to wrestle with those and figure out how they actually apply in all of our life. Eventually, though, following Jesus is going to cost you something. And here in Mark chapter 8, we begin to see Jesus lay this out for his disciples. So you remember, as Jesus began his ministry, he was baptized. He went through a season of being tested. He came through that season of fasting and testing, and then he began to call his disciples. As he began to call his disciples and they responded to the invitation of relationship, of following Jesus, we see Jesus begin his ministry. He begins preaching. There are some actual miracles that are performed, and people are amazed, and the crowds begin to follow. But here in Mark chapter 8, we begin to see, after the miracles, Jesus gathering his disciples together, and he wants to lay out to them what it's going to cost them. Because up to this point, yes, it may have cost them some family relationships. It may have cost them some business. There hasn't been the investment that they're going to need for the rest of the journey that they are going to experience and what it means to follow Jesus. And in Mark chapter 8, verse 27, here we begin to see Jesus dig deeper in this. And Jesus begin to lay out the cost of what it means to follow him. Verse 27 of Mark 8. Jesus and his disciples went out into the villages around Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked them, "Who do people say that I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others, one of the prophets." "But what about you?" Jesus asked. "Who do you say that I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Christ." And Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. Now skip down to verse 34. In verse 34, then Jesus called the crowd to him along with his disciples. And so you remember I said that Jesus had performed some miracles. Jesus had begun teaching, and people were amazed at his words. And so the crowds started to follow Jesus right before Jesus was leading his disciples through this, and Peter confessed that Jesus was the Messiah, the Savior, the one who came to take away the sins of the world. Jesus, just before that, had fed about 4,000 men, plus women, and plus children in that. And so naturally, in seeing this miracle actually play out, there were some people really intrigued with Jesus. And here, Jesus, or what we just read, Jesus had spent some alone time, some one-on-one time with his disciples because he wanted them to truly understand who he was and had that conversation. You can read in the other Gospels exactly some of the additional details of what Jesus said. But then we fast forward just a little bit and we get to verse 34, and it's not just the disciples, but the other crowd. Some of the other crowd is around Jesus. These were some of the people that were impressed with Jesus' words. These were some of the people who had actually been fed by Jesus' miracle when there wasn't a lot of food. These were some of the people that had heard Jesus' words and were just totally captured and knew that there was something different about this guy. And so Jesus then begins to lay out the true cost of what it actually means to follow him. Verse 34 of Mark 8, then he, that's Jesus, called the crowd to him along with his disciples, and he said, if anyone would come after me, or that's follow me, if anyone's going to follow me, is what Jesus is saying here, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now, I want to stop here for just a second. I want to talk about this verse for just a second because there's something profound here that Jesus is actually saying. And you have to actually grasp what Jesus is saying here. What Jesus is saying, I'll put on the screen for you, what I really, really believe the message here is, if you deny yourself now, you do that, or you lose yourself later. You know, Jesus has said, if you're going to come after me, if you're going to follow me, you've got to deny yourself. You've got to take up your cross. What Jesus is saying is you deny yourself now or you lose yourself later. And that's true for every one of us in our lives. We can choose to deny ourselves now or we're going to lose ourselves later. Just in some simple financial terms, you can sacrifice now so that you have more later. Or you can have more now, and you're going to have to sacrifice later. It's true in finances. It's true in other areas of our life. And it's true in our walk with Jesus Christ. If you deny yourself now, and you begin to follow Jesus, then what you will experience for the rest of your life here on the earth is that God is a faithful God. And God is going to carry you through all of your life. He's going to sustain you. He's going to take care of you. He's going to provide for you. But the way that you get to that is in denying yourself now. But if you don't deny yourself now, then what will happen is you are going to want in the future. It's true here in the physical, in this world right now in 2024, but it is also true for our eternity. If you deny yourself now and you take up your cross and you follow Jesus, then later in eternity, you are going to be able to spend eternity with God Almighty. But the way that you get that is to deny yourself right now. And that's what Jesus is saying right now. And through this passage of Scripture, when the crowds are following him, you deny yourself now or you lose yourself later. But I promise you, if you deny yourself now, you will be so glad that you did. So let's keep reading in this passage of Scripture. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me or follow me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Verse 35. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. Now, some people will tell you that just because of what Jesus had written here at the end of this passage of Scripture, that Jesus is actually talking about heaven and the future in heaven. But listen, if all you're doing is following Jesus for heaven, then you are going to be so disappointed here on this earth. Because Jesus came to address the issues in the here and the now, right here and right now. Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Jesus came and paid the sin debt that we would never be able to pay so that we would be able to spend eternity with Jesus Christ. But it's not only about eternity. It's about the here and now. It's about us living lives as overcomers, overcoming sin and overcoming the junk of this world right now through a relationship with God and following Him and then the infilling of the Holy Spirit. What Jesus is saying here is, come, follow me, deny your flesh, deny the wants of this world, and simply follow me one step at a time. And then he says, if you lose your life, I will find it. If you want to keep your life, then you're going to actually lose your life. Jesus is laying out here the actual cost of what it means in following him. And I promise you again, if you begin following Jesus, you will be so glad that you did. And I believe that what God wants for every single one of us is to simply take one more step, just one more step. And we've talked about that for several weeks. But in each one of these steps, there is a greater cost because we continue to live lives more and more surrendered to Him. The cost of following Jesus is great, but I tell you, it's worth it. It is so worth it. What Jesus is addressing here is what people who've followed Jesus for some time would actually tell you. You see, we've discovered that we consider our souls of much greater value than our stuff. And ultimately, the end result in eternity is following Jesus, is about being with God for eternity. Yes, it's about the here and now, and yes, it's about the eternity, but our stuff here on earth is not worth the cost of our soul. So I guess you could really, really say it this way. If we were to put a math equation together, my soul is greater than my things. But you know what we do so often, especially here in the United States? We spend so much time and effort chasing things, and we forget about the soul. We think, oh, God has my soul. God has everything taken care of. God's in the soul business. I'm going to worry about my stuff, or I'm going to worry about my things. But Jesus has laid out in Mark chapter 8 the true cost of what it means to follow him. And what Jesus says is your soul is greater than your things or your stuff. And you've got to do the work in following him and investing in your soul and investing in your walk with God in the here and now. But that's not a popular phrase. That's not a popular idea. That's something that takes a lot of sacrifice. Jesus said, it takes a lot of denying yourself. It means you take up your cross and you follow Jesus. We stop chasing stuff in this world. We stop chasing our things, and instead we start chasing Jesus Christ. And in that, we will discover that we are living an abundant life here on earth, and our soul has the opportunity to spend eternity with Jesus Christ in heaven for all of eternity. You see, your soul is what you have to begin investing in. Your life here on earth, this is what you have to invest in because it's greater than your stuff. It's greater than your things. And the way that you do that is simply follow Jesus. So what is the next step in investing in an abundant life here? What is the next step in investing in your soul that God is asking of you? Jesus is saying, you take up your cross, you deny yourself, and you follow him. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. Jesus says, whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever wants to chase stuff, whoever wants to chase things will lose their life. But instead, whoever follows him will save their life. Now listen, stuff is not bad. Things are not bad. We need things. We need stuff. But things do not become the God of our lives. They are things that we use to properly follow Jesus. You know, one of the songs that we sang this morning was the king of my heart. And there's some amazing lyrics that I want to point out to you that we actually sang this morning. So I, this morning, was actually looking up the King of My Heart lyrics. I shared with our worship team before we met. So I just Googled King of My Heart lyrics because I wanted to share some of these lyrics with you, and I wanted to make sure that I got those lyrics actually right. It's interesting, whenever you Google King of My Heart lyrics, there's a lot of things that come up as King of My Heart that should not be the King of your heart. So I won't read you the lyrics to Taylor Swift's song, King of My Heart. Instead, I'm going to read you the lyrics to King of My Heart that we sang this morning. Let the King of My Heart, that's Jesus Christ. This is living out the words of Jesus here. Deny yourself. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow Him, so that He is the King of our heart. The lyrics we sang this morning says, let the King of My Heart be the mountain where I run. Let the be the fountain that I drink from. He is my song. Let the King of My Heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. He is my song. Let the King of My Heart be the wind inside my sails, the anchor in the waves. He is my song. Let the King of My Heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days. He is my song. You see, what we have to do, what Jesus is really saying here to us, in taking up our cross and denying ourselves and following Him, is He wants to be the King of your heart. And if there is something in your life that is the King of your heart, be it stuff or things or someone in your heart, you have to be willing to set that aside and deny it and let God be the King of your heart. It's so easy for us, though, to spend money on things and spend money on stuff and try to provide more and more and more, but yet our soul and our walk with Jesus Christ actually get what is left over. Listen, following Jesus, as I've already said this morning, is going to cost you something eventually. So we've got to figure out what's the fine print. If there was an asterisk where Jesus said, follow me, and there was an asterisk, and we were to go down to the bottom of the page and we were to see what is the price that we're going to have to pay there, what is that? Here's the fine print. Listen, salvation is free. It costs you absolutely nothing. Praise God that His salvation is free for us. However, following Jesus is eventually going to cost you everything, not just something. It's going to cost you everything. You will not have to die for your faith. Thank God we live here in this country and we don't have to go out and risk our lives for our faith. But you will be asked to die for some things for your faith. There are some things in your life that you've been cultivating and you've been taking care of and you've been nurturing that, and that thing needs to die. It needs to go to your cross. It needs to die so that Jesus Christ can have that place in your life, so that He truly can be the King of your heart, so that as you respond to the next step of following Him, you're truly following Him instead of following that thing. Do you remember what we said the second week when we looked at following Jesus? If you're following Jesus, you're never going to be where you should not be. However, if you are following things in your life, or you're following stuff in your life, it's going to eventually lead you further and further away from Jesus. And so we need to make sure that Jesus is the King of our life and that He is first place in our lives. Luke chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus said this, "Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." And I want to focus on this word disciple for just a second here. Jesus said, "Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." And so we think about what it means to actually follow Jesus. We've got to take up our cross. We read here in Mark chapter 8. Again here in Luke, Jesus is saying, you've got to take up your cross. But then He throws in this word disciple. It's interesting that Jesus used this word disciple because it's one that we don't talk a whole lot about in the church anymore, but it used to be something regularly. Now, we get it whenever Jesus, when we look at Jesus' words at the end of Matthew, at the beginning of Acts, and he said, go and make disciples of all nations. We get that. We understand that. But yet, when it gets down to our lives, we often take that word disciple out of there. And what Jesus is saying is, if you're following him, the goal of following him, that's going to cost you something. The goal there is that you would become a disciple of Jesus. We could take the word disciple out and we could put in the word apprentice. We could put in the word student there. And we could say that the goal of following Jesus and taking that next step is that as a student of Jesus, as an apprentice of Jesus, we are becoming more and more like him. Now, why is it important that we become more and more like him? Why is this coupled together with following Jesus? And why did Jesus say, well, if you're going to follow me, you've got to take up your cross and you've got to be my disciple? Why is that laid out in Scripture? Why do I have to be his student, or why do I have to be his apprentice? What is the actual purpose of that? Well, you remember, Jesus created you in his image. In the very, very beginning, when we go back and we understand what God did in creation, we see that male and female were created in the image of God. Mankind was created in God's image. Sin entered into the world, and that was actually broken. That relationship was broken between God and man. And so that image was actually scarred. And from Genesis chapter 3, God put into place the plan that he would come so that he would continue to be able to have mankind in his image. But because of sin that Jesus defeated on the cross and the consequences of sin he defeated in the empty grave, then what we have to do is yield to God, because our sin-sick souls have to be crafted back into the image of God. Because sin scarred this world, we have to have a redeemer. Jesus, our redeemer, came, and then we have to, in following him, become his disciple. We have to become like him. Becoming a disciple is the result of following Jesus. But the way that we become a disciple is to pay the price of sacrifice so that he then becomes the king of our heart. Going back in Luke, to Luke chapter 6, verse 40, Jesus said, a disciple is not above his teacher. But everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. What Jesus is saying is, you've got to become more and more like him. The way that you become more and more like him is to take the next step in following him. And then eventually, you're taking up your cross, denying yourself, and you're following Jesus Christ. So I mentioned that I had actually asked a number of people, what does it mean to follow Jesus? I got some amazing responses back that I actually want to share with you. I'm going to share four with you, and then I'm eventually going to share some questions that I want to leave you with today. But I'm going to quickly go through four things of what it cost to follow Jesus. This is a compilation. Several had so many that were so, so similar. I've just made a compilation and crafted them to actually fit. The first thing that you have to do to follow Jesus is you have to have Jesus first over all other relationships. You have to live a life of Jesus first over all relationships. That's how you have to live your life. It's Jesus first. Now remember, going back to the second week of what we said it takes to follow Jesus, when you're following Jesus, if you stay behind him and you're simply following him, you will never be where you should not be. So you just keep following Jesus. Now, what does that look like in our relationships? As you begin to follow Jesus, if we'll be honest with ourselves, a part of denying ourselves and taking up our own cross, what you will begin to realize is some of the relationships that you used to have before Jesus, you begin to grow further and further away from them. Why is that? Because if you were here where you should not be, where God does not want you, and where he redeemed you from, and there are others that would be your friends around you, and you take a step to follow Jesus, and you keep taking a step to follow Jesus, you're denying yourself, you're taking up your cross, you're following Jesus, what you will discover is where you should not be is where you're no longer hanging out. And so some of those relationships that you used to have in the past aren't as strong as what they used to be. Because now you are denying yourself. You are denying yourself some of the pleasures of sin that you used to partake in. And when you deny yourself, some of those old relationships aren't as strong because they want you to partake in what they may be partaking in. The best clue for you to understand if you're following Jesus or not is if some of those old relationships you've actually walked away from, because you've turned from where you were in sin and you're following Jesus and you're living with Jesus as the number one relationship in your life. You see, whenever you follow Jesus, you have to deny yourself, take up your cross, and He is the first relationship. And really, the one that matters more than anything else. But what you will discover, remember, I told you, if you'll deny yourself and take up your cross and follow Jesus, you'll pay a price, but you'll be so glad you did. What you will begin to discover is those old relationships were selfish relationships. And God begins to put other believers in your life, and those bonds will carry with you for the rest of your life. And they will be the people that you can rely on. In a huge, huge way. But the way that we get there is we have to have Jesus first over all other relationships. Let me give you some scripture here. Luke chapter 9. I'm going to put it up on the screen for you. There are several verses. There's three situations here that Jesus specifically addresses. Verse 57 through 62. As they were going about the road, someone said to him, that's to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to them, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man is nowhere to lay his head. What Jesus is pointing to is a relationship here, is a relationship. You say, Jesus is really saying back, you're going to follow me. But what I'm telling you, you've got to sacrifice everything and move past that. The next part, Jesus said to another, he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. You think, oh man, that is so harsh. Jesus is saying, forget your family. They've gone on. Let them bury. Let the dead bury the dead. What Jesus is pointing out is a greater lesson here. Is whenever you take up your cross and deny yourself, you've got to follow Jesus. And Jesus will lead you to take care of your own. But you've got to be more committed to Jesus and staying with Him and following Him than you are with any other relationship in your life. The third part of this, Luke chapter 9, this is verse 61 and 62. Yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. You think, man, Jesus is being so harsh here. No, what Jesus is pointing out is He has to be first in all of your relationships. Here's the truth. God is a selfish God. And that's okay. I'm okay with God being a selfish God. Because nobody deserves praise more than God. Nobody comes anywhere near close. If we added up all the good that's ever existed in this world, it would still never even measure the tiniest fraction of a percent to God. God deserves our praise. He can be a selfish God because He deserves it. And He has to be first in all of our relationships. So what relationships do you have that you're putting above God? You see, I think that Jesus would say to us this morning, for some of us, there's a next step that we should take. And that next step is making sure that He is the first of all of our relationships in our life. There's a cost to following Jesus. And if you'll pay the price, you will be so glad that you did. But it comes by putting Jesus first in all of your relationships. The second here, you've got to eliminate or turn away from distractions. The enemy will give us so many distractions in our life. So many distractions in our life. And when Jesus is first over all other relationships, the next thing is eliminating or turning away from all the distractions. Why would we, in following Jesus, would we want something to distract us from following Jesus? But yet we so often buy into the temptation of the enemy and we get distracted by those things. We have to be aware that one of the ways the enemy works is by distraction. And the enemy uses so many different things to distract us. But what we have to do is we have to recognize the enemy's distraction and say, I'm not going to take the bait. I'm not going to allow the enemy to distract me with that. Instead, I'm going to turn away and I'm simply going to follow Jesus. And this is really where the rubber meets the road. This is really where it gets hard. But I promise you, the more that you are willing to eliminate those distractions and turn away from those, the easier it gets in following Jesus. And again, I promise you, if you will eliminate those distractions, you will be so glad that you did, because you will experience time and time again the faithfulness of God. Do you know what a distraction is? Whenever we take the bait and we go that route, what we are professing with our actions is we desire that thing more than we desire God. Whenever we take the bait and we go for the distraction, we say, God, please, I've been following you, but just give me this. And so I want this. And he's saying, no, I want you to want me above that distraction. But we take the bait. We go back to the distraction and we hang on to that distraction. Listen, when you do that, you are not following Jesus. But listen, we all fall prey to those distractions. And whenever you take the bait, God doesn't build a wall and say, you're out. Instead, what he does is he builds a bridge. And he comes and he claims us as his own. When we repent and we turn and we begin following Jesus, we begin to walk in the richness and abundant life that he desires for all of us. Listen, we've got to be willing to eliminate those distractions in our life. Turn away from those distractions. The third thing, and I love this one, it's a great reminder for us. You can't rule your own life. It's hard. You can't rule your own life. You're either a slave to sin or you're a slave to him, but you can't be a slave to both. It's one or the other. You can't rule your own life. You can't say, Jesus is the king of my heart, but I'm going to make my own decisions. You can't say, Jesus, you are first place in my life, but hang on just a second, because I want to do whatever, and I'll get back to you as soon as I've got opportunity. I'm going to seek something else before you. No, no, no. You're either a slave to sin or you're a slave to him. There is no middle ground, and you cannot have two masters. It's clear in following Jesus, one of the things that's going to cost you is you can't rule your own life. You can't make the decisions. You simply follow him. And again, you will be so glad that you followed Jesus and you simply walked with him. You can't live a life saying, I do what I want, and say, I'm a follower of Jesus. No, instead you live a life saying, I do what he wants, because I'm not a slave to sin. I am a slave to him and him alone. And then the fourth thing, you have to be willing to be persecuted for following him. You have to be willing to be persecuted for following him. Now, this is one that we really struggle with here in the United States. There's not a lot of persecution for us in following Jesus. We all came to church here this morning completely uninhibited. The only thing that fought against us was the rain and the wind and a little thunder, right? That was it. But there weren't guards outside this church saying you can't come in. There weren't people saying, as we got out of the car and you have a Bible on your phone or in your hand, they didn't check and say, hey, do you have a Bible? And I'm going to take your life if you do. We were able to freely gather here this morning and lift up our arms and worship him. That persecution I'm not talking about here. What I am talking about is the persecution, maybe from some of those that you used to be around. And maybe they mock you because of your faith. Maybe you don't spend your money or spend your time the way that you used to anymore. and they begin persecuting you or making fun of you because of your faith. Or maybe it's because whenever you're at work and you don't do the things at work or after work that some of the other people actually do, and they start coming at you because, oh, you know, they're just a goody two-shoes and they're following Jesus, and so they think they're holier than all the rest of us. The enemy will persecute us in some unique ways. And whenever we begin to follow Jesus and we're taking up our cross and we're following him, the enemy's going to persecute us. And he will begin to find those weak points and those right words in all of our lives. But listen, if we will just hang tight and follow Jesus, the persecution is much less than the abundant life we experience. The pain of persecution is much less than the abundant life there is in following Jesus. These are a few things. There's so many more things that we could talk about, the cost of what it means to follow Jesus. But I want to leave you with these. I'm going to give you some questions here in just a moment. But I want to go back to what we have said all along. What does it mean to follow Jesus? You follow Jesus one step at a time. And as you will just be obedient in the one step, then these things that we talked about that are the cost of following Jesus and taking up your cross, denying yourself, losing your life so that he saves it, the pain or the sting will be minimal. Oh, there will be a price to pay. But you will be so glad that you paid the price. This morning, I want to ask you to ask the Holy Spirit, what is the next step I need to take? Is there a price to that step? You know, Jesus told us that we need to count the cost. Is there a price to that? And truly, reckon with yourself. Be honest with yourself. Are you willing to pay that price? Are you hesitant and thinking, oh man, it's gonna be such a hard price to pay, such a huge price to pay. I'm not sure that I want to take it. Listen, Jesus wants you to get to the point to where when he says take the next step, you're willing and ready to take the next step. You know that there's going to be a price, but you'll be so glad that you paid that price. What is the next step that God's been asking of you? I think that for a few weeks now, God's been dealing with several of us about some steps that we need to take in our life, and he's just waiting for you. He's been building up your faith. He's been asking you to follow him, and he's ready for you to take the next step, but he's just waiting. He can't push you to it. He can't take the step for you. He has paved the way, and he's ready for you to take the next step. So what is the step that Jesus has been asking you to take, and are you ready and willing to pay that price? This morning is a morning that you have to determine, I am ready to pay the price and I am ready to take the next step in my faith of following him. What is it? And are you willing to pay the price and take the step this morning? The way that you answer that question is by asking the next. Am I on the throne of my heart? Or is something else on the throne of my heart? Or is Jesus the king of my heart? And if Jesus is the king of your heart, take the step. Take the step. But if there's something else that's there, you've got to remove it this morning. You've got to pay the price and remove it so that he can be the king of your heart.
Thanks for joining us at Whitechapel Church Online. We pray that today's sermon blessed you. You continue to join us as we lean into God's Word together. Until next time, have a great week.